Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Reed.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Annie.
And it's Reed and the girls this week. Zach's taking the week off and we're here to hold down the fort. I think no one was dreading coming on for the premiere of Vanderpump. We all want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've been on the pod. So for my fans that have missed me, I've missed you.
The Maddie-nators.
For my haters, get ready for a whole podcast episode with the word like in it a lot. So,
she read the reviews. I'm just kidding.
Except it's not as bad as Tom Sandoval on the Vile Files. If you know, you know.
Yeah, bad.
Like Raquel, somebody who's in her 20s, like doing the essentially the fucking whipped cream fucking bikini thing. Like to me, like in Varsity Blues, like I couldn't fucking like I was like, wow, I have really like, oh my God, like I'm attractive to somebody. Like I'm serious. Like
I get all that.
Speaking of reviews, guys, please drop us a review. 5 stars is obviously preferred and a glowing review, but share your thoughts with us. We want to hear from you in the Apple Podcast app, on Spotify, anywhere you can review us. We are all ears. We really appreciate it. We have a lot to talk about today, so we're going to get right into...
That's my opinion!
Okay, so off the top of this, that's my opinion. I just have to say, and I know it's not really Bravo related, but if you guys have listened to this podcast at any point when I've been here, you know that I am a diehard Barb. Okay.
You are the head barb in charge.
The head barb, the HBIC, the head barb in charge. I've had a barb. I've had a Nicki Minaj themed party bus, 2 birthdays. She was my favorite. She has been my favorite artist, like pretty much my whole life, alongside like Gaga and Lana, I'd say. But I discovered her in high school and I've been obsessed with her ever since. And I'm in mourning right now. I think I'm going to have to turn in my barb card or at least temporarily put it down in like a drawer or something. If you guys have been living under a rock, and I feel like if you listen to anything about Bravo, you're like tuned into pop culture in general, but maybe we do have listeners who just do not pay attention to female rap or Nicki Minaj or Megan Thee Stallion. But it was kind of hard not to see the news this week. I mean, it was all I was seeing. And did you guys see it everywhere? I'm curious, Annie's not on Twitter. Did you see anything on social media? Annie's algorithms, like she didn't see a single thing, did you?
I did see some stuff on Instagram.
That goes to show you the reach, because even Annie is seeing.
No, Reed, actually, I'm so interested. I did not know that Nicki Minaj was around when you were in high school. So you must have gotten in early when she was just doing mixtapes, huh?
Yes. No, I know you thought that was a read, but it's not. She came on the scene like she
was a read.
She became mainstream in like 2008, and I was a sophomore in high school. But she was, I knew of her before then. Just, I watched a lot of YouTube and like, I did love hip hop and rap. Like I loved Lil Wayne. So obviously he did some stuff, early stuff with her to bring her up. The Young Money album, her beef with Lil Kim was iconic. You know, Lil Kim tried her and she gave it back tenfold and we never heard from Lil Kim again. And I really just, it's sad because we're seeing the same thing happen now. The shoe was on the other foot, on the big foot. Nicki Minaj has decided she has a problem with Megan Thee Stallion. I think I speak for most people when I say we love Meg. Meg is just, she's like America's sweetheart. Beyonce loves Meg. Okay. That's
number hello.
One. Her mom died. Her mom was a rapper and raised her in a studio. She followed in her mom's footsteps. Her mom passed away. Her father passed away. She fought really hard to earn a degree while her rap career was taking off in like 2017, 2018. How can you hate Meg? I've always been Team Nicki, but I really just feel like it's jealousy and bitterness. And something is deeply wrong with her. It's like Kanye West territory, the way that she's been tweeting and going on live. And now her fans are like trying to desecrate Meg's mom's grave. And I just can't stand by it. I feel really sad.
I'm just going to say that I think the last thing Nicki Minaj did that was good, and this is going to upset you, Reed, because I know you were gagging for Pink Friday too. I think the last thing that she did that was good was host the Potomac reunion. Since then, she's been in her flop era, and it is just flopping hard. And you know what? We can remember Nicki Minaj on Potomac, but we don't have to remember anything else. And low-key, Potomac now is flopping. So the Nicki Minaj curse I don't know.
Okay.
Very astute.
That really pains me that you feel that way, but you're not the only one. I feel like I've heard a lot of people come out of the woodwork this week and say she's been a has-been. It makes me sad that people feel that way. I do think she's the greatest female rapper to ever do it. I don't think
She was good.
I still think, okay, I can definitely see where these days maybe she's not delivering as hard as she did in her early days, her prime. But I still see the craft there. I think she's gotten really lazy. I think that she's surrounded by the wrong people who don't tell her no. Her fans are like a cult and don't tell her no. And she releases a diss track at Meg called Bigfoot. And it's not even... This would have been fun if... Rap beef is fun when the bars go hard. Not when you cross lines and start desecrating people's mother's graves, right? Like, Meg got shot in the foot by Tory Lanez. I understand that a lot of celebrities apparently think Meg's lying. Drake has subbed her. Rihanna unfollowed her. ASAP Rocky is really close with Tory Lanez. A lot of people are not on Meg's side, and it is confusing. Why do you guys not believe her? But it's also not confusing because we all know that women struggle to be believed in general. So to
draw another line to Potomac, is it perhaps just that she was insulting her for having big feet, much like they talk about Mia on Potomac?
That's what I thought, honestly. I made that connection too, Annie. When she announced the title was Bigfoot, I thought she was writing a diss track at Mia because they did get in a Twitter beef after the reunion was shot because Mia like didn't like the questions Nikki was asking or something. But pretty much to sum it up, it's a sad day for the Barbs out there. I am an honorary hottie, though. Meg's diss track hiss was fire. She definitely spoke no lies. And I'm supporting her. Hopefully she'll go number one next week on Billboard. I actually would love if they did a Real Housewives of Houston and Meg was a real housewife. I know she's young, but hey, Ashley Darby did it. Another Potomac connection.
Let's get her to host a reunion.
Oh my God.
Let's start with that.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Like the Atlanta reunion, if we ever have one again. Speaking of all of our shows that are not on the air right now, and we don't know when they will be on the air, Dorinda Tedley posted like a prediction. I don't know how accurate it is. They have a lot of inside knowledge, I guess, of what's currently airing, when it's finishing, what's coming up, what's in production. And it's looking kind of bleak, guys. I think this is the karma for Bravo putting a million things out at once, because now they don't have that much coming out. I have said on the podcast before, I feel like maybe they're going to announce a new house. So there's a new show that we don't know about that's going to help fill this out. But right now, Miami is concluding potentially March 6th. Beverly Hills is concluding March 13th. And Potomac concluding March 17th. I wish they would flip that. And Potomac, just go ahead and end now. Married to Med, most likely also the 17th of March. Southern Hospitality is almost over. It ends this month. Pump Rules is probably going to go to May or June. And then coming up, we have The Real Housewives of Dubai Season 2, which is like 2 years old now. And it's coming out maybe this spring, like March, April. Jersey is coming out April 2nd. Who knows if we'll ever get the Morocco season of Ultimate Girls Trip. Brandy, as about an hour ago, said she's talking to her lawyer and going to speak on it tonight. So we'll see if more beefs come out this week between the ladies. And then Summer House is premiering in February, so probably going to go through the spring. That leaves just a couple shows in production, guys. OC's production ends in April. Salt Lake's production starts in a few days and ends in May. Roni, most likely starting in March, so that'll probably end sometime in the summer. And Atlanta, who knows what's going on with that? No contracts have been given to the current ladies. But that's it. So, like, it's looking bleak is the summary.
Yeah, it's like not a lot going on. Like not a lot going on. Really, once like February wraps, what do we have? Vanderpump Rules, Summer House, Jersey.
Well,
or like I guess April.
Yeah,
that's
like,
kind of like
once,
what we have going on.
Well, pretty much March, we still have our Housewives, and then after like March, we might have Dubai, and then we're gonna have like,
which
we're definitely gonna have some dead air on It's About Bravo, unless we want to start covering Summer House. I know Maddie would love for that.
I'll I'll sub in every single week to do some Summer House recaps.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least.
Maybe it's because like with summer, they don't want to overload our plates because so many people go on vacations and they don't stay up to date on Bravo. And so they're trying to make a slower schedule come summertime. Just a thought.
I kind of feel like with the Atlanta thing, they're trying to get the fans' reaction. This is just like a totally crazy theory, but I feel like instead of like pulling the trigger, how fast they did with Roni and everything, mm-hmm. and they realized how our reaction was so negative, I feel like they're trying to feel us out and see what we think, because the more that people post about it, the more the comments roll in of like, no, don't do a whole reboot of the cast, or yeah, get rid of her, get rid of her. I mean, I kind of feel like they might be just like looking to the content creators and the fans to like almost tell them what to do next a little bit.
But that's a great call. You know, that's a good call.
I think my theory is that their casting is well underway and that they are trying to, they're looking at new girls. They're probably trying to see if Nene is serious. I mean, there's probably a million, to your point, Annie, they're probably still throwing a lot of shit at the wall and seeing if it sticks, but I don't know if they're just sitting on their hands right now. I feel like there's probably some shit going on because it is Atlanta. But Maddie, to your point, there was something else that I saw that could be an explanation as to why we're in this drought of shows and whatnot. And that is because COVID messed up a lot of production schedules. And so apparently they're just resetting to what it used to be. Maybe that's what it is.
I also actually, you brought up something, Reed, that makes sense. If they're actually trying to get Nene, like for real, and we have seen a little bit of a hint for the first time in years that she might even be like, you know, she followed them again on Instagram or whatever, like that she might even be open to it. Maybe they are dealing with her, going back and forth, trying to get her signed and get her contract right. And if that's the case, honestly, worth the wait. Take your guys' time and make that work.
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There also is rumors that there is going to be no Winter House this year because normally by now they're already filming Winter House. So that's another show that we won't have. They haven't really spoke on it yet, but.
They need to treat, maybe Winter House needs to be treated like RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, and we don't need one every year. Do it every few years and bring the
real. And we need the best people.
The best of the best. We don't need all the dead weight. I don't know. I don't watch the show, so I can't really speak to it as much as you could. Speaking of Nene, though. There's a Lifetime movie coming out, apparently. Nene Leakes and Denise Richards starring as themselves. I think there's other Housewives cast. I'm not sure who. It's called Hunting Housewives, and they are going to be running for their lives, like after being like stranded or something. I don't know. But I'm seated.
Maybe I'll be seated if I like come over to your house and watch it with you, but I'm not putting that on alone in my apartment.
Let's do it together, and we can do a movie day, and we'll watch that, and then we'll also watch The Housewife and The Hustler Part 2 on Hulu. Apparently, Erica Jane is sitting down with the victims. Is that what I saw?
I saw that rumor too, but allegedly.
Allegedly. I just can't imagine her. Watch her wear the diamond earrings.
Oh, no, stop. She probably would.
She sits down and she goes, so which one of you are the widows and which one are the orphans?
too soon.
Okay, other Housewife production casting news. Okay, so Real Housewives of Orange County is currently in production, like we talked about. Shannon is looking mother. That depression weight loss has worked, or the Ozempic or whatever it is. Working. Alexis Bellino is been spotted filming, looking also mother, I might say. And then Katie. So I think we can talk about Katie.
She's
been styled by someone we all know. He came on the podcast last week. He started this podcast. Modesto has been styling this girl, Katie, who we weren't sure if she would be on Housewives or not, but she is. You've seen her in photos, people. She's been filming. She had I think her first scene was, who was it with? She was filming.
I think I saw pictures with her and Gina, maybe, or Emily, or maybe Shannon. I don't know. There's so many pictures.
Like just naming everybody.
All of them. There's so many pictures that are being leaked by like people seeing them, or like them taking pictures together. So it's definitely one of she's filming with people. That's for sure.
Imagine how pissed Modesto would be if he wasted all this time styling her and then she didn't get cast. You know, I mean, what a waste.
But also, how do we know? I feel like we've heard so many housewives say before that they weren't sure if they would be a full-time housewife when they were filming. I'm pretty sure that Heather Strait, as they call her, Heather Gay's doppelganger, that was apparently that woman was filming a little bit for the season of Salt Lake that we just finished. She wasn't there. We didn't see her. She's gone. So, I mean, you really don't know.
I hadn't heard that joke, and it must be because I'm not on Twitter, but that's funny.
Because she looked like Heather Gay, but had dark hair, so we were calling her Heather Strait.
Everyone calls her Heather Strait. It's really funny. It's really funny.
But I think she had problematic stuff.
Her Facebook came out, and she was Republican and racist. I mean, the thing about these, they need to get off Facebook is what they need to do over in Utah. But speaking of our Utah ladies, I guess there are two newbies, potentially. I don't know their names.
Potentially.
Can anyone speak to this other than me? I don't know their names.
I found their names just from a tweet. And, you know, these tweets aren't coming from reputable sources. It's not like Page Six or...
Mad Beefs isn't a reputable source, Maddie?
I don't know if Mad Beefs is a reputable source, but they posted...
Sounds legit to me.
I think it's Melly Workman and Brittany Bateman. They both are dark-haired. I feel like I get them mixed up like I did Meredith and Lisa for the first season that they're in.
One looks like she's definitely white. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I have no idea.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
In Utah, but I feel like it's a pretty good guess that they're white in Utah. I saw a clip of one of them singing in her church. And
yes.
He was like, she kind of had some pipes. Someone was like, oh, Lisa Barlow, no longer the singer of the cast.
I was going to say, Lisa's shaking in her boots and her...
Shaking in her bangs.
Shaking in her bangs. That's also
that so bad news. And I beat her right to it because I could see it in your eyes. You gave it to me. Yeah. Her bangs. What do we think of the Kyle Richards Halloween?
They're not real. They were clip-ins.
Yeah, because our friend Modesto saw her later in his store shopping and she didn't have the bangs.
Okay, cool. So I didn't know if you were going to mention that. I didn't know if I should, but I'm just going to tell you guys right now that Modesto texted me. I had, by the way, this always fucking happens to me. I had left an hour before and I was like, why the fuck am I never there when this kind of shit happens? But he texted me and the first thing I said was, that's so cool. Did she have the bangs? I don't think they're real. I never believed it. And he was like, no bangs. And I was like, I fucking knew it.
That's literally what our group chat was. He like said that Lisa Barlow was shopping with him and then Elvis goes, does she have bangs? And he goes,
are the bangs? Where are the bangs?
The bangs are fake.
I always knew she would never fucking do that. She's so obsessed with her signature look. I mean, we've heard her cry about it a lot. She would never fucking
never.
That's insane. That was, I always knew.
I always knew.
Anything else for That's My Opinion, guys?
Not really huge news, but it looks like Morgan Wade has deleted all pictures of Kyle Richards off her Instagram. And same with Kyle, deleted almost all pictures of Morgan. Now, I don't know if this is like a stunt to get us talking about them again. I don't know if everything has been a stunt. I don't know what to believe, but the Instagrams are wiped clean, like a broken relationship, some would say.
Okay, so it's either all a stunt, 100%, or... On the flip side, I have never believed in their love more than I do now. Because let me tell you something. If you have a fight with a friend, you don't delete all of your Instagram posts. If you have a fight with a girlfriend and you break up with them, then you do that. So like, I don't know what is up and what is down anymore, quite frankly.
Me either.
I think Annie posted a really funny meme to our page the other day. It's a side-by-side of Kyle and Katie Maloney from Vanderpump Rules wearing the same, what would that be called? What was that? What is that type of clothing called? A shirt, one would say?
Well, a top. Well, from the confessional, it's a top, but it is a bodysuit, but it's a top. Yeah.
So, you know, the meme, of course, makes joke at this being the top that makes you explore your sapphic yearning. And I'll admit, I had to Google what that is, but it's the lesbian. It's the lesbionic vibes, right? It's the lesbionic vibes that so many women talk about.
Jenna, I really thought you would have known all about that.
Jenna Lyons definitely had her sapphic yearning. She talked about it in Roni. So I'm thinking, you know, like they say, when one supreme falls, another rises in its place or something like that. I feel like what happened was That's actually the same exact top. And Kyle returned it. And Katie put it on. And kind of like a Freaky Friday situation.
Became a lesbian.
The lesbian was ex... I was going to say excommunicated. Like we're in Salt Lake. Exercise from Kyle's body. And it entered Katie's body, which would explain the cunty new hairstyle, the slicked back that she's got going on. You know,
it's giving lesbianist. And from the trailer, obviously we see her get with a woman. So it's not a far-fetched idea, other than I don't think Kyle has any idea who Katie Maloney is.
No.
Yeah. Well, but you guys, you know, this is a good point. So who do you think that Katie should give it to next? Who would you like to see be a lesbian next? Go.
Oh,
ooh, I'm saying Lindsay Hubbard from Summer House, because men have done her so dirty. I can see her go swinging that way. And she has dipped in the lady pond before.
Reed, I kind of want my Countess Luann to.
Ooh, you want her to like break up with your girl?
I know she loves her men, especially her young men, because we should also talk about allegedly Joe Bradley from Southern Hospitality and Countess Luann. They were on Watch What Happens Live together. Apparently they were all over each other. And now Joe called off his little thing with Summer House girly, Danielle.
Danielle. Which is just, if you guys watch Summer House, or if you listen to me on the podcast or on the Patreon talk about Summer House, like Danielle is just so thirsty, and I really don't like watching her on my TV. I'm not a fan of Danielle. So it just makes sense that she has such loser energy that Joe Bradley would leave her for Countess Luann.
I think it says more about Countess Luann. I think she has a juge to her that just pulls. She's sexy. I'm sorry.
A je ne sais quoi, you could say.
Je ne sais quoi.
Did you guys watch the Watch What Happens Live episode in question?
No.
No.
I did not see it.
Okay, well, I did watch some of it. And I have to tell you guys something. I think that Luann planted the story, because like Joe Bradley pointed to like the audience where was Danielle. Is that her name?
Yeah.
She was sitting there and he said like, oh, I like older women, you know, and pointed to her in the audience, and Luann was not looking at him. She was like looking at Andy, and she like reaches her hand over and puts it on his shoulder and goes, oh, you're so sweet. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so flattering.
It was, that's like, also funny. Very Luann, like, to make it about
yeah,
her.
Yeah. It was like, he wasn't talking about you. Like,
I love her.
People were just pointing out that it was so funny that she like just completely read the situation completely wrong.
I'm obsessed with her.
Of the episode was like so flirty, thinking that it was like a miscommunication.
Okay. It was like, but I would not put it past Joe Bradley, because I feel like a lot of young straight men have this sort of, once in my life, I want
to be a MILF.
Hook up with a cougar.
Yeah.
Like a sexy cougar, right? And I think Luann hits that mark enough that like a Joe Bradley would be like, okay, this is my cougar pass, you know?
Yeah. Well, Danielle even posted like something like eerie on her Instagram story after, like posted like a, you know, a black page with white font, you know, one of those. So I think it has legs.
Yeah.
I think the story has legs.
Much like Luann, legs for days.
4 days. Well, that is a very jam-packed segment of That's My Opinion. Let's get into our Vanderpump Rules season 11 premiere recap.
I sent her a message last night. Text or on a voice note.
It is kind of wild if you think about it, because for maybe a year, year and a half, if anybody interacted with Lala's ex, she was ready to like murder him, cut his balls off, f*** you.
When I hear that people are going and communicating with that person, I don't want you in my circle.
I just feel like if the shoe were on the other foot and I was reaching out to Randall's mistress, I don't think Lala would be very happy with me.
My feeling is that whatever work she's doing, I hope the best for her, you know, over there. But she's still doing the same stuff. She's still in contact with him, and they're sending packages back and forth to each other. I know they're still in communication, but hear me out. We're talking about my ex asked me to sign an NDA.
Your ex is not, it doesn't always apply.
I mean, she knew better.
Right, and I think someone...
She literally came over to my house one time when I was crying. This is like... maybe January. And it was very clear that Tom and I were still together. And she was there consoling me. So what she did to Ariana was so f***ed up. But at the same time, at what point do I sit there and go, like, I know this feeling. I know this feeling.
The feeling is the same, but I'm just saying the people are different. The players are different.
No, she was like your guys' little sister. I know.
Yeah. It's a new season, and it's the same Scandoval. I don't know if there was any other way they could start this season off. I've seen some people say this premiere episode was a little bit of a snooze. I can say that I was really entertained. Maybe it's because I tuned in about 10 minutes early and caught the last 10 minutes of last year's season reunion. Was it part 4? Raquel talking to the producers. It kind of reminded me of how serious this shit was for all of us, right? I mean, my mom hated reality TV, hated the idea of Housewives and Vanderpump. And within 2 weeks, binged all of it and was watching this season premiere live, texting me about it. I mean, this is a new thing my mom and I can bond over. And I think
that is a great
encapsulates where we're at with Vanderpump Rules, right? There are a lot of people that were probably seated on Tuesday night who have not been seated for Vanderpump before or for Bravo before. They got hooked in with Scandoval. I'm curious if we can keep them in or if they're going to kind of drift away. I'm curious what this season is going to entail beyond Tom and Ariana hate each other. Raquel is sort of in the periphery, et cetera, et cetera.
I was really looking forward to the premiere as well because I want to see like all the fallout of everything. I do think it was a little bit of a miss not having Tom Sandoval in the first episode because I do, even though I hate him, I need to see like his fallout. Just seeing his assistant, you know, texting with Ariana wasn't enough for me. I do think the season still obviously has a lot of legs, but I was kind of in the path of, it was a little bit boring to me, not because not a lot happened, but it was just kind of laying the foundation. So it wasn't like jaw dropping. And I watched the last 10 minutes of the episode too. And you just remember like the last season, there was just so much riding on it. And I can't speak to the first episode of the last season because I was in my binge, so I hadn't watched it live, so I don't know those feelings that like as a regular season comes. I was watching it already with the eyes of Scandoval, so it hit a little bit differently. So I don't know if we're gonna have that same feeling of like knowing something that like they don't know, you know. That's why I enjoyed it so much, and this just wasn't living up to that yet.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to strongly disagree with you. Kind of agree. I think you guys have heard me talk about when the trailer dropped, I think I said that, like, prepare yourselves. This is not going to be anything like last season. It never will. Nothing will ever live up to that. I was only saying that because I'm like, just prepare yourselves. Like, you know, when you go to a movie and someone like hypes it up so, so, so much, and you think it's gonna be like the best movie you've ever seen. And then you go and you end up being disappointed. Like, but if you go into a movie with no expectations or like low expectations, you end up loving it. I was lowering my expectations before this season because I already knew that it was never going to live up to what it was last season. So watching it through the lens that I had, which was like, it's not going to be like that. It's still going to be good. Just like, don't expect too much. I loved the premiere. I also do think that like, it made sense for Tom not to be there because Maddie, you're right. They do have to lay the groundwork. I think that like, I forgot that at the beginning of the season, because we all know what has happened since IRL. I forgot that at the beginning of the season that they were still like Raquel and Tom were still communicating. The group still thought Raquel was coming back. The group still didn't know what was going on with Tom and Raquel. Like, that's so interesting to like watch that like kind of rewind. So I enjoyed seeing that because I had kind of forgotten about that part of it. And then also but that's not going to go on for very long. So like they do have to kind of like spread it out into several different episodes, which is why the end of the episode ended with like him walking in and saying hello and like, you know, who's on the phone. It could be anyone, but like, you know, it's Raquel. I think they're going to have to kind of spread it out for us because it's her presence is going to figuratively be gone pretty soon.
And that's why that's why I said I did still really enjoy it. I think much like you, I went into it knowing it wouldn't be what Scandoval was last season. And I felt like for being a premiere episode, the season immediately following Scandoval, it did everything right. Because we can't really go, we until we know where we've been, we can't really know where we're going. And I think they had to do a little bit of recapping. They did a good job recapping without just repeating it all. It was sort of told to you through scenes, through little comments in Ariana's confessional. They would cut to a clip or something. They did a good job sort of refreshing your memory without beating it over the head for you, because let's be honest, everyone knew what was going on for so long. I know that Scandoval and Reality Von Teese are not 100% the same thing. It's kind of like an apple and an orange. But I think that I will be interested to see how this season does without Raquel there. And to me, that might be sort of an omen for how Salt Lake might do next season without Monica. And I only say that because there's clearly a need for resolution. Monica said that in an interview recently. Fans want resolution. And I think that even with Raquel, you know, we have Sandoval here this season. So I think we will get a little bit of that. But not having Raquel in the picture and they're dealing with the fallout of everything, I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, I thought that as soon as it was kind of announced to us that Raquel wasn't coming back, I thought that wasn't almost fair in a sense, because I did want to hear her side of the story. Because as Lala said in the episode, when she said like she felt she couldn't go against Sandoval because then she didn't have anyone else in her corner. And so I could see, even in that light, when Lala was talking about it, okay, if Raquel was here, maybe the audience would feel that same way that Lala's feeling. Because as the audience, we were all feeling like Lala at first, hating Raquel, hating everything she did, but then kind of warming up to her a little bit. So I do feel like it's bad for Raquel to not be on the cast, almost, because I want to see what she would do and how it would work out better for her. Because now we have the stained image in our head that's probably never going to be revived. We're always going to have that stained image.
Mm-hmm. So I think that like some people are giving actually Raquel too much credit right now, because the thing is like when Raquel was saying things like, I don't want to go against him because it's the only person that's on my side, et cetera, et cetera. I always feel like with Raquel's mind, the way that it works is like what she really meant was like, I can't be on this show anymore if I go against it. My connection with him is gone. I have no connection to this cast. So my career as a reality TV star is over. And like, that's why I don't respect her as much. And I also think that like, honestly, if they're not together, it actually doesn't make any sense for her to be here. It makes sense for Sandoval to be here, because as we've seen, he has such a long like history with these people. And so if anyone's going to be forgiven and let back into the fold, it would be him, not her. She's new, she's out. And she has no connections to this cast at all. There's no one. I was shocked by Lala's, you know, phone call. We talk about that more later, but like, other than that, I mean, I would not expect anyone to sit down and film with her. And why the fuck would they? They're not friends.
Yeah. That makes me think of another note that I took on this episode, and that was Ariana has the center stage for kind of the first time, obviously last season too, but Ariana was never really a main character in my opinion. In my Vanderpump watch, she wasn't an OG. She came in, she was closer to the OGs than a lot of these girls, but you know, they bullied Sheena, and then Sheena became friends with Stassi and Kristen and Katie. Then Ariana joined. They didn't fuck with her. Then Lala joins later. She's the girl that gets bullied. Raquel gets... I feel like they always haze the new girl, okay? But with Ariana, I never really felt like she was main character energy. She was always kind of a side character alongside Kristen, Stassi. I even thought Lala had a stronger entry.
Series. And she was more of a guy's girl too. So she wasn't even in the girly scenes with everybody. So you didn't even, you definitely thought of her as a side character.
Yeah. Sure. And I felt like she was a wet blanket a little bit early in her earlier season. She like did kind of go toe to toe with Stassi and stuff. And I liked her a lot more. The longer she, maybe it's because she was with Sandoval. Maybe he did this to her, but the longer she was with Sandoval, the longer she was on the show, I just kind of felt like she became a little bit of a wet blanket. She was always like, well, I don't want to go into the drama. She always was like she was pouty to me. And so when Scandoval happened, I felt like it was really good for Ariana. It put her in the limelight. Now she's on Dancing with the Stars. She's the main character. But I think it's starting to annoy people. It certainly kind of annoys me a little bit. And Lala says it in the trailer. I've never seen someone get cheated on and become God. Now, obviously, Lala just likes doesn't like it when she's not the center of attention. Maybe I have that in common with her. But I'm a little bit annoyed, too, at this whole Ariana. I never thought she was that great. And I'll be interested to see what her future on the show looks like without Sandoval. I'm bringing this back to what Annie said about Raquel not belonging there. A little bit of me feels like at some point, when does Ariana belong there?
When she runs a sandwich shop with another main cast member. Are you stupid?
Yeah, listen, Reed.
I never liked that sandwich shop. Y'all know this. If you've been listening,
it's not about the sandwich shop. Okay. The point is that Ariana has genuine friendships with like the people on this cast. Even Tom Schwartz, who she has like cut out once. Like, she was in Tom Schwartz's wedding, not in Katie's wedding, in Tom Schwartz's groomsman party. She was a groomsman for Tom Schwartz. You're right, she was always more of a side character, but I would say it's not so much because he was a wet blanket, but because she was the more sensible of all of the women. And she was always like, just like, she wasn't great TV because she didn't get really angry. She was always like the nice one that was like, not going to be a bully, whatever, where we can admit the other women were bullies to like the new girls that came in. I mean, Ariana was the one that would be nice to James when he was on the outskirts, would be nice to Raquel, welcomed Raquel in when she was on the outskirts. Hello, ahem. Like, so she has a footing in this friend group because she's literally friends with all of them and they all love her. So that's why she makes sense here.
And yeah. I think what the audience is forgetting, and by the audience, I mean people on Twitter even saying that like they're getting annoyed with Ariana, like, or getting annoyed with how she's reacting. Like, oh my God, this was so long ago. We have to remember they picked up cameras like very shortly after reunion, maybe 2 to 3 months after reunion.
Yeah.
And we saw how angry she was at the reunion. She was not healed yet. And I think even now coming into the very first scene, she seems in a better place, but I think she's still obviously processing a 10-year relationship where the ex-girlfriend or the girlfriend is still sending messages to her house. Like, it just, yeah, I felt so bad for her.
She entertains me more now than she has the last few seasons. I mean, the bad season, season 9, right before Scandoval season, I just thought she was such a wet blanket. I thought she was so lame. I had no interest in her at all. Last season, she had that victim edit, you know, not edit, but narrative. And then this season, she's finally starting to make some funny, shady remarks about Sandoval and Schwartz and her confessionals. I'm actually enjoying her. But I guess what I meant with my point was how long, as long as Sandoval stays on the cast, I don't know.
Well, sometimes like what happens to you does ignite a different person in you. And I think that also you're right, Reed, it might not last, but this is the first time that we've ever seen her on this show not be Sandoval's girlfriend, not be like the plus one. This is the first time that she's even been on her own. So like, she always really went out, like along with kind of what he was doing. She was always strong.
Well, she was like, well, he has very like main character, I want to be the main character energy.
Yeah.
He said that too.
Yeah. So I think that this is like, I think she's just being herself, but I think she's just the first time that we've seen her like have a reason to like speak up and be on her own and like carry her own. And I think so far she is, and we'll just see. But, you know.
Speaking of this being so close from when they stopped filming the reunion and whatnot, I think she was getting ready to go on Dancing with the Stars at this point, because my mom texted me and said she's had lip work done. And I was like, I don't pay attention to, I don't understand lips. And on our Drag Race Patreon, Annie was like, did you notice that after Valentina, all the queens shave most of their eyebrow, but they leave the first part? I've never looked at eyebrows. I've never looked at lips. I'm so gay, you guys, but I'm also such a boy. Like, I don't notice these things. And so did she get lip work done? Is my mom correct?
Yeah, she always gets filler.
Okay. I said, well, she was probably getting ready for Dancing with the Stars. She probably wanted a little touch up. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. And then she talks about Sandoval being out filming that nature
special
thing. Special forces.
Special forces.
That's why he's gone the whole fucking episode. And then Raquel, Lala said on Watch What Happens Live, when Andy's like, why did you call Raquel? Like, you know, and she said, well, we didn't know at that time that she wasn't coming back to the show. They hadn't figured that part out yet. I bet you producers were like, hey, Lala, call her.
Yeah, let's get into that. Even though that happened towards the end of the episode, I think it was so important because of how people were reacting and saying, I can't believe that, like, if she did that to Randall, you know, if it was Ariana that did that to Randall, Lala would be like firing at it. But at the same time, Randall wasn't on the TV show. Like, Lala is doing a producer's mind. A producer's like saying, hey, reach out. Like, she's doing what she's supposed to be doing as a cast member. I think we also have to look at it the same way. Raquel was a cast member. Raquel wasn't just a random person, you know?
Yeah. I also kind of feel like, So Lala was willing to film with Raquel, basically, is what we're getting into. Like, she was willing to, I mean, I think that Lala genuinely felt for Raquel. And I think that all of those feelings that she was saying were totally valid. And I believe that she believed those things. And she does kind of see a little bit of herself in Raquel being the mistress, I guess. But I don't think that Lala's giving herself enough credit, because Lala did not know that she was the mistress when she entered into that relationship. And even whenever she found out, you can argue that she found out after, during, whatever, it was still like a faceless person that she found out about. When Raquel entered into this relationship, already being best friends with the girlfriend, like, that's a completely different situation that takes a whole different kind of fucked up mindset to do. So Lala and her really aren't that similar at all. And I think, like, I feel sad for Lala, actually, that she's comparing herself to what Raquel did. Actually, it makes me, like, bummed out.
I'm glad you're on the pod with me, Annie, because we're both Lala apologists. Like, we love Lala down. She's our favorite character. But I do think she was more reaching out to Raquel. Yes, she says it related to her and Randall, but I think it was more because she kind of took a step back and, like, people on Twitter after the reunion were coming for Lala. I can't believe you spoke to Raquel like this. Like, she was getting a lot of hate because of how she talked to her at the reunion. And I think even us, we said, okay, it got a little crazy at the end. Like, it was like a whipping board, yeah, you know? And I think she took a step back and felt bad for that and was trying to almost make amends in the sense of reaching out and trying to look better for the audience point of view.
Yeah,
and it worked on me.
Lala's a producer, first and foremost. She's a good producer. Mm-hmm. And she knows that, to your point, Maddie, let me do a little bit of rehab on my image. I'm going to balance out the lashings I gave Raquel by sending her a nice voice note on camera. And I'm also going to do this because nobody else will in production keeps asking us, when are y'all going to ask Raquel to come film with you? We need it. I think that she knew that somebody had to reach out. I think she said on Watch What Happens Live, Raquel never responded to that.
Yeah. And do we think... Sorry to cut you off, Annie. I knew you were going to talk. Do we think with the filming, it has to deal with, obviously, Raquel's not coming back. Do you think this ruins the cast at all with Ariana not maybe wanting to film with Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval? Because Schwartz even tried to talk to her at TomTom in the premiere, and she blatantly ignored him. Like, do we think that's going to run an issue throughout the season?
No, I think that Ariana and Tom Schwartz will eventually, even if they don't become friends again, like, have a sit down. Like, she's willing to be in the same room with him, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think that, like, that will become entertaining for whatever it might end up being, I guess. I do think that, like, to your guys' point about Lala, she was being a producer. Absolutely. She was the only one willing to film with Raquel. Basically, that's what she was thinking, extending that olive branch, but also feeling guilty about how much she came for her. But also, I think, like, going back to, like, at the end when Ariana kind of was a little mad about Lala reaching out, if Raquel would have come back to the show and Lala would have gone through with her ultimate plan of filming with Raquel and being the only person to offer that olive branch in person, then Ariana would be really upset. And I don't know that they would still be friends now. So I'm kind of glad that it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm not, because it would have been fun TV. Speaking of production, though, I wanted to note that the production value looks better. They got that Scandoval money, and it was giving Selling Sunset when they walk up to TomTom and it does, like, It's almost like, you know what, the Grammys or is it the Oscars where the camera comes up really fast and then it's like slow motion as like Gaga turns around and her hair is like.
They do it on all the red carpets.
It's like, it's such a cool like style.
I love those videos. It's by a guy named Cole Wasserman or something. That's his whole thing. I follow him on Instagram and I watch all of them. They're so
It's not exactly like, that style, but it's very similar. If you watch Selling Sunset, someone had said it's like The Hills. Like when they walk up to the door of the restaurant, it kind of does this slow motion, high definition. Their hair is it's kind of like when they in the intro when they swing around with the with the pumptinis and whatnot and they're like not sloshing everywhere somehow. I definitely think they upped the production value on this a little bit and it feels more it almost feels like a tonal change that they're trying
Netflix
to play with.
Money. Netflix yeah. Love is even, blind money.
Mm-hmm. Even the intro scene, like obviously they revamped that and that looks like top tier. Everything is just top tier.
Let's talk about the intro because this is so connected to like the production value looking higher and just the, in general, the evolution of this show. I saw a reviewer talk about this episode and say things like, this show has gone through so many eras. The show started off and it was about Lisa Vanderpump's waitstaff. And then it kind of turns into this show where they pretend to be Lisa Vanderpump's waitstaff, but they're too famous at this point. They're not really working there. And then it kind of morphs again into them starting their own business ventures. And
they're not even pretending to be the waitstaff.
And just coming back to Sir to ask Lisa Vanderpump for advice on camera that they don't follow. and now it's like morphed again. And it's not, it's like, it's still a little bit about them starting their own businesses, but it's almost not. And it's kind of that is all comes back to the big question that I have is what is the future of Vanderpump?
So it's okay. Cause it's kind of like Lisa Vanderpump, like had no choice, but to give Tom and Tom like their own restaurant, because it just like perpetuates the illusion that this is about restaurants. Right. It's like, we all know that they're not really running the restaurant, like always, but like, and then them starting their own, like separate one, which was Schwartz and Sandy's. And it was interesting because Ariana, if it was real life, I was actually talking to my husband about this. We were watching it. He's a bartender. And I was just like, I really felt for her because I was like, imagine that like you cheated on me and we got divorced. I would never step foot in the bar that you bartend at ever again. I would no fucking way. And if I had to go for some sort of other reason, it would be very emotional, very weird. It would bring up horrible memories like that were supposed to be happy. It would be so sad. I totally felt for her. But like, they are always going to have to film scenes at these restaurants so she can't escape it.
No, and I think that's what makes her a good reality star at the end of the day, because she could have left. She could have been like, I'm not filming with Tom. I don't want to be a part of this. But first episode, she's at TomTom getting waited on by Tom Schwartz. Like, she's put her head in the game. And I think that just kind of shows what she's willing to do for the show. She's not willing to put on a Sir dress, though, and go work at Sir anymore. It's kind of weird that they got rid of the Sir workers, though, this year. Like, last year we had Charlie was...
Christina.
James' girlfriend never worked there, right?
Allie, no. And we kind of still have her.
But Charlie was like the one that kind of worked there that was still integrated with the scene. Well, and Raquel.
Because in season 8 is when they tried to do the new generation and they had the split cast. And it was like the worst season ever.
The worst.
And then the two young guys were outed for being racist and got fired. And then we also lost Stassi, Kristen, Jax, and Brittany. The Dana girl was like, I'm just done. There were some other weird girls they were trying to introduce. One girl had gigantic eyes and seemed really psycho. They never called her back. And Charlie was just like the only one. It was like, it's like a fossil. Like, ooh, proof that there were dinosaurs. Like, there's proof that there were season 8 newbies with Charlie at the beach party last season. Like, when she's like, yeah, I got to go to work, as they're like all yelling at each other. It's so funny because she doesn't have any connection really to them. They, I guess Raquel. Maybe that was her connection.
Yeah.
But now she's not there because we're
and now, yeah, now she's not there. I do think it was a miss, and it's just my opinion. But starting that spinoff with Jax and Kristen and Brittany and not bringing them back on the show, I think
It's not just your opinion, Maddie. I think we all agree that was
right.
So stupid.
We obviously don't need to see more players. We don't need to add in any people that work at Sir. We don't care about that anymore. And we don't need to add people that really don't relate to the Scandoval issue because we're all wrapped in it. But why not capitalize on it more and have the Jax and have the Kristen and have Brittany there for Ariana? And I think they could have just done a little bit better in that sense.
Well, yeah. Stassi said on a podcast recently that, like, she doesn't even really talk to any of them. They're not even really friends. She's in a totally different space.
Well, that's why I didn't mention Stassi's name.
No, she talks to the people on Vanderpump Rules, just not the ones on the spinoff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were talking about the Valley and how, you know, without knowing all that, it just really felt empty to me watching that and not seeing Stassi there. Like, okay, you're going to have Jax, Brittany, and Kristen, but not like the Regina George of the whole thing. Like, where is she?
Yeah,
It's like when Lindsay Lohan and Gretchen Wieners, I can't remember her actress name, and like three of the four Mean Girls did that commercial.
The Walmart ad.
And Rachel McAdams was not a part of it. It was so weird. I'm like, this is not Mean Girls.
She's busy. She has a bigger life now. And that's exactly what Stassi said.
They asked her
and she said no.
That, to your point, though, I mean, they don't really have the space to add newbies right now. The old guard are sort of fractured, and we've got some on this spinoff. By the way, I just know it. They're going to do the same thing they did when they premiered Vanderpump on Beverly Hills and when they premiered Summer House on Vanderpump.
They've already announced that they're doing it.
Yeah. But I think I know when it's going to happen, because in the trailer, you see Jax and Lisa Vanderpump like screaming at each other. He's like, you never credited me or whatever. I think he's gonna get up from that fight and the camera's gonna follow him out the door and the font is gonna change and the music's gonna change and you're gonna hear a voiceover from Jax and it's gonna be like in the Valley. Like, it's just gonna
be like, those gloves on, and the
credits are gonna start rolling and it's honestly so smart of them to do it that way, because people are already watching Vanderpump. They're gonna force them. But it didn't work when they did that with Real Friends of WeHo in between Drag Race and Untucked last year. We just changed the channel for 30 minutes. So I don't know if it's going to work for them.
Yeah.
Can I just say about back to the opening credits, we have to mention something about her. They had the designer that is a set designer for Nancy Meyers films.
Yeah.
The fuck? That's
due to design, because they wanted to have that vibe. But apparently in the very first intro of them standing in the sandwich shop, that's not their sandwich shop. They made like a set for
it. Their sandwich shop is still not open. I don't think something about her. What about her? I don't see it anywhere.
I saw the pictures of it. The Stassi, Lala, Katie, Ariana, they all went there one night, like IRL.
Yeah, it's better.
Social media, and it looked just like that.
Yeah, it's better now. It wasn't there when they were filming it, so they used like a set, is what the article said that came out. I do believe the sandwich shop is going to happen. I think they did go through a lot of zoning stuff, because they had a simple awning that ended up having to be taken down because that was like illegal in the zoning laws. I don't know zoning laws. I'm not a realtor.
You sounded like you did.
I thought I knew, and then I had to backtrack.
Like, Maddie,
you're
okay.
Right.
Maddie's
but
like,
you're
million
right.
dollar, you've watched too much Million Dollar Listing.
Million Dollar Listing. I know the shit. But I think after all of that happened, when they were trying to rebuild it, it was in the middle of one filming and two Dancing with the Stars, and now Ariana's on Broadway. So I think they're just giving it a step back. That's my opinion.
Well. Between the Valley, between Vanderpump, and then allegedly, there is like a next generation Vanderpump coming with actual restaurant workers. I think that would be the right way, because it's never going to be Vanderpump Rules again. We're going to watch these people grow old and die, probably. It's probably going to become like Jersey Shore. It's going to become Jersey Shore Family Vacation, where it's going to be airing on MTV, and we're going to be like, why are they still getting these people together? They are 40.
I think it'll still be on Bravo.
it'll still be on Bravo. Who am I kidding? But just a couple of highlights from like small things that I enjoyed from this episode. So kind of in the beginning, when we were getting everyone's individual scene, sort of setting the stage for where they're at since last season, we see James and Allie. They have a new home. They're going to They have a pool. They're going to be pool party hosts now. They are going from being kicked out of pool parties to hosting the pool party. And I loved the edit of the planes constantly flying over the loud ass planes.
Oh my God.
Just reminding them and us as the viewer that James Kennedy will never, like, they're still young. These are still young people. They may have gotten a little taste of fame, but they're still far, far from Villa Rosa.
Well, it just makes me laugh because, you know, when producers got there to film, they're like, how are we supposed to film with all this noise? You know, they're probably like, what the fuck are we supposed to do? So they're like, you know what? We're just going to run with it and make it. They did not try to clip any of it out.
I bet you they heard it. I bet you they immediately heard it and said, oh, this is gold. Like, this is exactly what we need.
Literally.
You know, for that pool, though, that backyard, I would live with it. Did you see that? They have a nicer backyard than, like, a lot of the other customers.
I need a map of where they all live in Los Angeles, because I know it's not close to each other. I know they all live in weird areas.
Last season of Potomac, they did that where they were like, and she lives over here and Wendy lives up here.
Yes.
And they need to do that because we do need to know the spread, the spread.
Yeah.
And what someone said on Twitter about last season, I still agree. I don't like my Vanderpump Rules cast in these nice ass homes. I need them back in college level affordable housing. Like, that's when I enjoyed this.
Yeah, like, James is going to invite them all to their first pool party, and they're going to be like, where do we go? And he'd be like, just GPS the LAX, and then you'll find it.
That was a really good. That's a good James Kennedy accent.
It was pretty good. I have to talk about one of my favorite moments from the premiere, and it's just a small, silly moment. But Ariana's talking about her relationship with Schwartz and says, I don't really know what I sent him, but I sent him a text message. And then I blocked him right after. And then you cut to Schwartz in the confessional reading the text message. And it says, fuck you, blocking your number, go choke on Sandoval's dirty ass dick. And he just starts laughing. I'm like, yes. Ariana's like, I don't know what I said. Just sent a text.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Whatever, blocked him after. Go choke on Sandoval's dirty ass dick.
He just takes a beating after beating. And he just doesn't seem to care. He's like, yeah, she's mad at me. Like, he just is someone... There's no fucks given. I wish I could be like him.
Brings me to another small part that was one of my favorites. I wrote a quote down. Tom Schwartz said, Ariana's the ice queen. She's the ice queen Ariana, patron saint of scorned women.
I cracked up. It's exactly how I feel. And I think a lot of people feel and don't want to say it. Like, she's just, she is the patron saint of scorned women. Everyone's like, oh, you've been cheated on? Girl, let's put you up on date. Let's put you on every show. Let's put you on every magazine.
I think that straight men apologists everywhere were cheering when he said that.
Yeah. I just hate Tom Schwartz. And I think he really is a bigger villain than, oh, I'm dumb. No, love me. I'm dumb. And so everyone's like, oh, he's dumb. He's Tom Schwartz. I'm like, you evil mastermind. You fucking dickhead.
He's not an evil mastermind. Okay.
He is.
Charming, though. He is charming. I have to say it.
I'm so dumb. I'm Tom Schwartz.
And then, yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if either of you were going to bring this up when you talked about your favorite moment, but we can't.
Summer Moon?
We have to talk about, well, I was going to say Sheena telling us, the viewer, that Sandoval gave her OCD and anxiety. And it's just, okay, it's so funny how this is about, to Sheena, this is all about her. Like, yes. She definitely thinks that we all think that we're all, like, focused on how do you feel, Sheena? Like,
and that's why I'm obsessed with her. Like, people on Twitter are like, she makes everything about herself. I can't stand watching her. I'm like, that's why I love watching her. I love that she...
Same with Larsa.
Literally. And that's why we like watching Larsa. Because the fact that she says she has all these disorders now because of Scandoval. And it's like, he didn't even cheat on you. He was just your friend. And then she's going through, he blocked me. He blocked Shenanigans, my podcast. And he blocked Summer Moon. And it's like, why do you have to block a baby?
And as funny as it is to picture Sandoval beefing with a baby, I honestly don't blame him, because you know Sheena is the type Like that Summer Moon account ain't Summer Moon. That's
no.
Sheena.
Well,
that's
is Summer Moon logging on and posting? No.
That's wait,
Summer
Moon. That's Summer you guys, Moon. Wait. That's Summer Moon. What? I thought it was her. I've been following her this whole time. I was like, wait, what?
That's Summer Moon by Sheena Shea.
No, literally.
She's a brand. Yeah. That's literally, she named her to be a brand. That's what it is. But we love when Sheena makes everything about her. Any other thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, so I sent you guys this text message and I did not follow through with it myself. And I'm so glad that you guys did not either. But before, when we started watching the episode, I found a drinking game for the premiere of VPR. And within the first 5 minutes, my husband and I said, oh, no, we can't do that. We're going to die. It was just funny, though, to keep mentioning it as we were going through. So one of the things was drink when someone makes Scandoval other than Sandoval or Ariana makes Scandoval about themselves. And then it was drink every time there's a flashback about Scandoval. And then within about 30 seconds, there was a flashback of Sheena making it about herself. And then it cuts to the current scene where she's
like, no,
it was homework. So we're going to be on the floor. But also I will say too, I mean, a little bit towards the end of the episode, Sheena really hit us with this. She said, I think we probably maybe could have forgiven Raquel for falling in love with her best friend's boyfriend, but she put a restraining order on me. And yes. I was like, wait, Sheena, do you think that is the thing that we're the most mad about? Like, you are truly unhinged.
No, she literally, that's what she thought. She was like, I have a restraining order against me, and that's what's stopping me from being friends with Raquel.
She was saying about everyone, she was like, that was the thing that I think for everyone just kind of, you know, nailed the last nail in the coffin.
I love Sheena, though, because she is the comic relief. I will say the one last thing I want to touch on is the house situation with Sandoval and Ariana, because it said Tom basically tells Ariana that he wants to buy out her portion of the house, and she says, I'm not doing that, I'm not moving, like, it's such a pain in the ass to move. But I guess also, and I don't know if this was mentioned or if I read it online, he wants to buy her out for what she originally paid for it and not the fair market price, because what they paid for it years ago was obviously a lot cheaper than what it's at nowadays. And he doesn't want to pay what it's at nowadays. He just wants to pay what she originally paid. So obviously, duh, she's not going to take that deal. She's not stupid. The house is worth so much more now.
Okay, you have been watching Million Dollar Listing. All right.
I want to know why the Lego mural of them is still on the wall.
Oh my God. Haunting. That was the last
bone,
clip of this.
Bone chilling.
chilling.
They can't agree on who's going to get the profits when they sell it. So it's just going to stay there. And I honestly, with these two, with how stubborn they are, she mentioned in the after show, she's like, well, I went through so much bullshit that I can deal with, you know, a couple months of uncomfortability living in the same house with him. And I was like, a couple months, bitch, it's been about 2 years. Like, when are you going to move out? I think that they are going to live there forever because they just won't back down.
I think she's suing him, though, now. Isn't that like in present day what's going on? Something about the house and suing
that's
him.
It's going to have to be because there's
none my goddamn of house.
They're not going to move out.
I got that right.
Annie, you had mentioned earlier you wanted to say something about the fashions.
Yes. Okay. So you mentioned earlier that I did post that meme with Kyle and Katie side by side wearing the same top. A lot of people in the comments, and this actually happens every time that I post a side by side of two people wearing the same outfit, everyone in the comments on social media is like wondering, like, why are they always wearing the same stuff? Like, what's going on? There must be a reason. People have like their tinfoil hats on or whatever. And I'm just here to tell you a couple things. I point out these things because I just happen to notice these things. Like, a lot of people wouldn't remember them or notice them. It's not that common. It's just that whenever I do see it, I do post it side by side. It's not all the time. But when people are wondering, people have said, oh, they use the same stylists. as a stylist, I'm telling you right now, no. If you are using the same stylist,
they're obviously not going to dress you in the same thing.
Exactly. That's a huge faux pas. Actually, it's for sure unintentional. For instance, Katie and Kyle are not the same size, so they definitely wouldn't share clothes anyway, but they would never offer to share clothes. And even if it was a stylist picking stuff out, yes, if you're a stylist, that's a horrible thing to do. You would never put two of your clients in the same thing, knowing that they're in the public eye, at all. That's definitely not happening. In this case, I also read someone saying, oh, I think designers send them these things for free and hoping that they'll wear them. Also, 100% no. Designers like Dolce & Gabbana, Schiaparelli, you know, Balenciaga, if they ever dress a celebrity for free, they are dressing like Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah, they're not dressing people on a reality show.
They're not dressing these bitches. Okay,
they're not dressing like, Sheena Shan.
Yeah. So, but in this case, though, I mean, it's a smaller brand. It's on a designer, so it is possible, perhaps, that maybe this smaller brand sent the same bodysuit to Kris Jenner and Kyle Richards and Katie Maloney. That is possible. Sure. But I will tell you something else. Any of these reality stars would never have worn it had they seen the other person wearing it.
Yeah, duh.
It's filmed at the same time, so no one's choosing to repeat these things. Like, it's not like anyone's copying. That's the exact opposite. They would never purposely copy, because it's like, you never want to get in a side-by-side of who wore it better, which is not what we're doing, by the way, when we post those side-by-sides, because I'm not about that. It's just pointing out a similarity, but like, you're never like purposely doing that. So these are basically just a coincidence. That's flukes. All it is.
Fashion flukes. A new segment brought to you by Annie on It's About Bravo. Well, that was, I feel like I learned a lot. And this episode was really entertaining for me. I will be seated for episode 2. But yeah, the future is, the rest is still unwritten, as Natasha Bedingfield would say. Let's get
back to the hills.
With that, let's head over to Mexico City and get into our Real Housewives of Miami recap.
Shaking.
No. Sorry, just don't say anything.
Really, you guys, it's really stupid.
Yeah, you know what's stupid?
It's the argument's stupid. It was stupid to throw something. It was stupid to fight over dog food.
Giving the dog some
but Lisa,
food.
But Lisa, you're trying Kiki to a point you don't try another woman. I'm sorry. I love
what?
She told not nice.
How dare you? If anyone threw an object at you, you would be
I don't
pissed.
Try anybody unless I'm ready for someone
you
to
try.
Them.
You try
no,
people
I don't
all
do
the
that.
Time.
If I stand up in someone's face, I'm going to be prepared for to go popping off.
I was scared.
You told her to shut the up twice. This is earlier and then again. It's not nice, Lisa.
No. Larsa? Honestly, yeah, shut the up, all of you.
Okay, then great. Say something.
Well, we can say the same thing to you to shut the up, too.
The Real Housewives of Miami are still in Mexico City. Icon, legend, moment, Dr. Nicole took the red eye and is now here as well. So we have a full cast on this cast trip. And before we dive into it, I just have to say, this episode was fucking hilarious.
It was okay. So funny.
Speaking of red, Nicole had a wonderful, beautiful red confessional look this episode. I was obsessed with it. It was gorgeous. And also, Gertie had a red confessional look. And I don't know if they were there last like episodes, but I noticed them both this episode and they were just phenomenal, both of them. And they don't always shine in their confessional look. So I just had to mention they were really rolling out the red carpet for us this week.
They were. I mean, even their looks on this entire trip have been elevated. Like, they're going to the church looks, them coming home, changing for the gondola looks. They're all the Miami women never not serve. They're always serving. Nicole taking flying commercial. Wow, she's so brave.
Yeah, seriously, especially with that.
I would never.
She's so brave.
So this episode, they go to the Cathedral Metropolitana, and they are here to see, is it Guadalupe? The patron
Guadalupe saint. Mary? Or is Mary saint. In it at all?
Maybe Guadalupe is Mary. I don't know. This is what we need Zach and Mo on this podcast for. They speak Real Housewives of Miami much better than we do. But I just have to point out the similarity that between Miami and Beverly Hills this week, all of our ladies were in a church. The ladies of Miami were all sobbing in the church. I think Sutton was crying in their church too. There's a lot of crying in churches happening this week.
Mm-hmm. The crying in Miami though was so moving. The entire episode made me, there's a lot of points where Larsa was a winner in this episode, and her comforting Gertie in the church just made me appreciate Larsa so much more. Just seeing all the women, even Julia, who's afraid to be in a church, stand up and like be there for Gertie in all of it. It was so emotional. Alexia got emotional because of Frankie and had her letter from Frankie. These women, even though, and we'll get to it, fight like cats and dogs, when they are there for one another, they really step up. And that's kind of why I love the cast.
Yeah, I hate church and I would not have gone, especially if I was Julia. I'm like, no, I'm good. But I will say what I've always said since I've kind of decided that I'm agnostic, and I was raised in a very religious kind of family. I believe that religion is there for people however they need it, and I totally support it. And I think that, like, I love that Alexia, like, you know, got through her issue with Frankie and everything by having that, it, going to church and praying, and that made her feel better and that made her feel whole. That's, you know, that's wonderful. And so I will never, no matter what I believe, like, never discount that. And I also thought that it was great that, like, no matter what all the women believe, like, this experience brought them together on an emotional level. And so for that, you know, you can be thankful for that experience, whether you're religious or not. Thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I'm not really religious anymore either, Annie. And I grew up in, like, a Southern Baptist community, and my parents are still very religious. It took me a really long time to get over, like, the anger that I felt toward religion, especially coming to terms with my sexuality. But I'm in a place now where I would view something like that as more of like a history lesson, like a field trip almost. And it wouldn't make me feel uncomfortable to go into the church, and even bowing my head and, like, doing the customs, it would feel like I'm just respecting their culture more than I am going back on my convictions about religion or whatever. And so I felt like that was kind of what we were seeing too, was just like a respect for this place, for its history. And then, of course, even if you're not religious or close to God, kind of finding meaning in it for yourself. And that's where we got the really deep things about, from Julia, about, you know, her, I forgot about what happened to her child, and that's heartbreaking. And then, of course, you have Gertie dealing with something very real right in front of her and starts breaking down crying, and Larsa comforting her. It really felt like the Lord Jesus Christ was in the room with them, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think, like, praying can mean something different for everyone. You know what I mean? Like, so I think, like, I would, if I was there and I was participating, and maybe I would have, like, knelt down and, like, you know, just kind of reflected about things or whatever. And I think, like, that's, like, kind of what brought them all to those like nice moments together. And also too, I mean, it's a, like you said, it's history. It was a, at the very least, beautiful architecture and art by the church. I mean, you would go to see that too. A lot of people will go to these, like, big cathedrals or whatever. Like, you know, even if you go to, like, the Vatican in Rome, like, most people are just going, it's kind of like a tourist attraction. It's just, like, such a beautiful kind of space that has so much art in it and beautiful architecture. Like, you know,
it's kind of crazy, the juxtaposition of the scenes in this, from them going from being all together in a church and loving on one another and rubbing each other's backs and hugging, to them doing an all-out screaming match on the gondola. Like,
the demons were not exercised in that church, or the demons came back. The demons came back really quickly. I just have to say, Adriana missing the church to rest up for her Gay Pride Festival performance. She is the gay rights advocate that I knew, that I knew she was. She was like, y'all go see God.
You always knew.
I always knew. you know, y'all go see God. I'm going to rest up to sing my hit single, Faya, to
tomorrow, even like
faggots.
Not even that day.
And I love that for her. I loved it. Once again, we got a confessional from Alexia being like, I may hate Adriana. She makes bobs. Like, she fucking loves Adriana's music.
I love how much Alexia loves her music. Like, she mentions it all the time. Like,
she's like always, a fan.
She always mentions, I hate that bitch, but I love that music. A bop is a bop. I can't
say bop. Well, when I went back and watched Miami 1-3 right before the reboot came out on Peacock, I was enthralled with the theme music. It sounded so different from the bells and chimes and the more like formal stuff that you hear in the other Housewives theme music. And I found out like later, I did not know this going into it. I did not know this even while I was watching it. I found out later that Adriana, that's her song.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Annie, you didn't know that? So when you
I didn't know that.
The Miami. Like, that's literally Adriana DeMora.
Feel the rush. It's called Feel the Rush.
I didn't know that. Wow, I love that.
And it's also interesting because no other Housewife theme song has words except for the Ultimate Girls Trip season one. Housewives in the Island.
The Island, baby.
I have gotten suspicious at times that they have used some of Candy's music in like kind of like in scenes in Atlanta, maybe like to kind of introduce a new scene. Is that, but I don't know if I just kind of felt like it might be true, but I don't know that it is true.
Well, I just finished season 12 of Atlanta and started season 13. This is the COVID season.
Godspeed.
Portia just went to jail for Black Lives Matter protesting. And I think I forgot how traumatizing this time period was. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to watch this. It's kind of giving me Roni 13 vibes, but obviously they're actually talking about race and the things that people talk about versus the Roni women avoiding it. But what I will say is I've noticed in both of these seasons, the music has words and the music doesn't normally have words. I also noticed on this new season of Beverly Hills, the music has words. Is it a production? Do the different production companies that do these shows, do they determine the music style? Because it's usually just instrumental, but on some of these shows, I'm hearing words.
It's always been instrumental, I think, for Housewives, but like Vanderpump Rules, Southern Charm, Summer House have always had like the stupid,
very
you know,
Selling Sunset. Yeah.
I was just going to say Selling Sunset, like we wear heels, carry purses.
Party like, on. Because we can't stop.
Yeah, but they're doing it now in Housewives more. And I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, on the Atlanta, it's very like, it's very hip hop. I'm like, oh wow, like maybe it is Candy.
They just looked at like hip hop tracks.
It's like trap beats because it was like, I think the season was like 2018. This was like when Migos and Cardi B and everything was
well, COVID season was 2020, but
well, okay, but I watched the last couple seasons have had the
words.
But anyway,
weird. I didn't notice it until recently.
Yeah. So Adriana, like what we were saying, Adriana is a musician, and Faya is also a bop, and she's going to be performing it. But to Maddie's point, the rest of the day is not so holy. It's pretty much sucked up by the Lisa and Lenny drama. We get a little bit of context on what's going on there. I guess he's making some crazy demands, right, for their divorce, or what's going on?
He's absolutely insane. The fact that he calls her when he knows she's filming and then says, like, I don't agree to be recorded. Like, you're such a fucking bitch, dude. I think that they had a settlement going forward and all he had to do was say yes. They were going to sign the settlement so they didn't have to go to court Monday. But of course, he has rewrites to the settlement and wants to put in the settlement, no matter how far Lisa is in a new relationship, she can never live with another man again. And it's taking away from Lisa being able to ever move on.
Ever?
That's what the
never
stipulation
live
was.
With another man again. That's
another
like,
man can never live in her home with her. That was like, a stipulation.
That's like, you can't tell someone that.
Well, because he's paying for it.
Wow.
It's his house. And that's kind of
he doesn't want to pay for it. He knows that this is, he can smoke her out.
He's such a manipulator. So obviously, we have that backstory going into it. So Lisa's already not in the right mindset going out of this boat trip. But yeah, I did love.
It goes a little bit left.
Far left, far left. It starts off great. They named the boat Miami Mommies. I thought that was so cute that they did that.
They were all so excited when they saw it.
We were also happy
there's, like,
back
alligators
then.
And shit in that water too.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
And so she starts trying to feed a dog. Well, before that, her and Larsa get into it.
And I just have to love Larsa for one. First, Larsa took on Gertie in the church and was really her friend. And then she really stood up to Lisa in the scene and was just like, you can't keep going backwards, you know?
Wait, Maddie. You loved Larsa in that scene when she was talking to Lisa?
Yes.
What? I thought it was funny. She's like, you're a baby.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. And I think that's a good friend to be able to call someone
Lisa
out like that.
Is being a huge baby. And I think they're all sick of it. And I think Larsa is the first.
Larsa's the only one that can call her out without her getting angry.
Because Larsa's not empathetic. So she doesn't care.
You can't say to someone, you're never going to find someone who's going to deal with your shit ever again. That is so mean, though.
Oh, yeah.
Tough love.
Kind of like, yeah, it's like sisters like being really mean to each other, I feel. And she's like, you're a baby. And then Lisa's she's like, you're a bully. And then she like had a smile. She's got a smile. She's like, well.
The craziest thing is that in that moment, Larsa was, I say tough love. You say being evil or a bitch. In that moment, she was giving tough love or being a bitch. And Lisa still did not have the same reaction she had to Kiki. When Kiki said was, don't feed the dogs. Like, this is not a good look.
And then she like lost her shit.
Yeah. All so right, I'm like, so, Lisa, do you even make sense? Like, you have your good friend telling you you're a baby and you're never going to have the man that puts up with you. And you just say you're a bully back. Kiki Lisa says it's insensitive. And you stand up and freak the fuck out.
Okay, yeah, well, that's incriminating when you bring it up like that. But I do also feel like Lisa did get really mad at Larsa, and Larsa was like, not backing down. If I said something like that to my friend, thinking that it would be received well, and then I saw her reaction, which was very hurt, very angry, very upset. Like, wait, are you serious? And then you just double down. I don't know. I just thought it was crazy. Like, Larsa kept talking. I was like, say it, and then kind of move on. But she kept on like double. She was like, yeah, no, I did mean that. I don't think anyone would deal with you. You are horrible. You're a baby. And like, you're kind of like, who would, she was basically saying like, well, you know what? Who cares about this clause that Lenny just put in? Because who would ever want to live with you? So you're fine.
I don't know. I liked her kind of holding Lisa's feet to the fire and saying what everyone else was thinking.
Well, it definitely escalated from there. And just pretty much encapsulates why we love Miami. Everything is just entertaining with these ladies.
So them throwing, so they see this dog on the side and the dog does look matted and, you know, maybe a little skinny. And so Lisa goes, I'm going to throw food to the dog. And Kiki, you have Kiki kind of in the background saying like, they're making fun of these people's homes. They're making fun of their dogs. And this is very similar to the life that I had back. Where is she from?
Yeah, she's from the Caribbean. Haiti.
So she was like, I lived like this in Haiti, and they're kind of mocking it. And she didn't say anything right in the moment, but Lisa kept on throwing the food. Yeah. And even the guy steering the boat was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And Kiki stood up and kind of said, hey, don't do this. This is not a good look on you. And Lisa stood up Lisa stood up first. And Kiki's like, don't stand up. Don't do that to me.
Don't yell.
Don't stand up. And Lisa was basically asking for it. She's like, I'm standing up. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? I'm standing up. And Kiki stood up and threw something at her. A juice box, I think.
Like a juice box.
And yeah. Then World War III broke out. But when a family went by in another yacht, they all stopped screaming. Hi. I cracked up laughing. Like, they literally were screaming, fighting. They're like, there's kids. And then they were just like, hi. And then they resumed fighting.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it was wild how activated that Lisa got about that. But yeah, they were testing Kiki's patience. She could tell that she was getting like more and more annoyed with what they were saying. I mean, what that one time when they were like, you know, wow, it's like crazy to see how these people live, but I bet they're all really thankful for what they have. Like, it was just very condescending and really weird. And she was like, just keep your opinions to yourself. Cause it was just like, don't like, just shut the fuck up. And I also thought it was hilarious and very poignant when Kiki said in her confessional, Lisa, you don't even feed your own dog. Your nanny does that.
Yeah. That was like, ooh, you got her there. Hit her again for me.
She ate a little bit there. yeah, this episode ends kind of with this. I feel, I guess, with Adriana doing a prayer, trying to bring them together just as quickly as she'll tear them apart next episode, I'm sure.
And she didn't go to the church, so that prayer did not bring anything. And
then it kind of ended on a weird note when they went by that like land of dolls, and it really kind of triggered Julia with all those baby dolls like strung up, and like it ends on the gondola. Is it a gondola? What is it called?
I called
it a yacht earlier, so apparently I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yacht? Oh, Maddie, you don't know what a yacht is, but...
whatever they're on. It ends with them still on it in that awful baby area, that house of dolls or whatever, island of dolls, so...
Yeah, that was creepy and that was horrible, and that was like the triggering of it. But I wanted to say that the thing with the juice box and everyone saying, where did the juice box come from? It reminded me of last season when Kiki just pulls a Whopper out of her handbag. You know, I mean,
she's always ready.
She has snacks in her bag. She's a good.
A Whopper would stink up your bag, would it not?
She ate it pretty quickly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It would.
Well, any other thoughts on Miami?
Oh, I was going to say, I think that when Adriana was back at the hotel or whatever, resting for her performance, I think Kiki was thinking, bitch, you should not be resting. You should be rehearsing, because Kiki's worried that that's going to be the best.
It's going to be such a good episode next week. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how
Kim Zolciak.
not
prepared at all. But the trailer, it looks like she looks good. I think it'll be interesting. But with that, let's go from Mexico City to Barcelona and recap The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Loved ones gets me. A friend of mine dreamed about my dad the other day. My father said in the dream, for me to know that I was right, that he was tired.
Your dad was tired.
A psychic told me.
Lori is telling me that she doesn't understand what happened to her.
Here's the thing, Tal, you're never gonna get those answers.
I know that.
The focus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I haven't been a good friend. I haven't been a good friend. It's okay. I hate fighting with Kyle. So to have this moment and to start to really rebuild our friendship means everything to me. I adore her.
I care about Sutton a lot. And I was very hurt by the question she was asking about my marriage. So I'm happy to accept her apology and move on, because I'm much happier with our friendship being in a good place.
So this episode kind of picks up where the last episode leaves off. The ladies are on this cast trip. Crystal and Anne-Marie have been beefing hard. And now suddenly Crystal's having an allergic reaction or something. Something's going on. And Anne-Marie is like, oh, now I get to be nurse. Nurse Anne Marie.
She was the nurse that stepped up.
Okay.
So, all right.
It was blood pressure. It was blood pressure related, correct? Was that the final diagnosis?
The blood pressure being high, but I think it was all kind of kickstarted by her being like really car sick, which is, I've been really car sick before and it feels insane. Like I got a migraine from it that lasted hours, like 8 hours from just the car ride. I got nauseous. I felt like I had a blowover. I mean, I think it all started from the being car sick, but either way, I'm honestly so annoyed with everyone being like, okay, I felt at the beginning that Anne-Marie was really exaggerating Crystal's situation so that she could feel like she was needed. And the rest of the women throughout the whole episode being like, thank God you stepped up. I can't. And she's like, I can't. And it's so funny that she was like downplaying my profession, but like now she needs me. And I'm like, bitch, what did you do? You didn't do anything. You did not do anything. You know, you what? You suggested like calling the ambulance. So did Kyle. What the fuck did you do? You didn't do anything.
She's totally one of those girls. Like, first of all, because anesthesiologists have come out and said, like, bitch, you're not one of us or something like that. I heard on a different podcast that apparently CRNAs and anesthesiologists have beef. Like, there is like
that's what Anne Marie said on Watch What Happens Live, that like the anesthesiologists don't like CRNAs because they do very similar jobs. And CRNAs are nurse anesthetists, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So same field.
I think the beef is that they're getting sick of these bitches trying to act like they're as good as us. Like,
I think to be an anesthesiologist, I think that's the hardest type of doctor you can
It's
be.
Like one of the highest paying, but the CRNAs are highest paying nurses. So,
well, okay. Yeah. Cause you're putting people, I think anyone putting people to sleep is getting paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
But if that's the case,
still read, you should be making a lot of money.
Shut up. I was just about to make that joke. I was going to say, if that's the case, the entire cast of this, of Beverly Hills should be getting paid the big bucks for this episode, because I really didn't find
it very interesting
at all. I mean, you obviously have Anne-Marie acting holier than thou. Oh, what did she do? She diagnosed her. Oh, she has high blood pressure. I can tell. And just like and holding that kind of over her head. And then when Erica is like, I'm really proud of you for setting your beef aside to help. And she's like, always. I'll always do that. Always.
Ugh.
Like barf. So fucking proud of herself. Okay, Anne Marie. I hate this bitch. I really do. I can't stand her so much. Oh. But I will say, I saw her video for Watch What Happens Live earlier, and she looks stunning.
No, yeah. She looked really good on Watch What Happens Live. And Andy was kind of like making a case for her. Like, he was really like loving her, and it was
he wants her to. I think she'll probably get a second season if this is the way he's acting.
Oh, by Trisha. Yeah.
It's the only part of this episode I found entertaining was the shopping trip that Sutton timed them on because they were running late. So she was like, you guys have 3 minutes to shop. I'm going to time you. I thought that was very entertaining, watching people spend money so fast. I love it because I want to live that life. But other than that, I was very like checking my phone. I literally tweeted, thank God we get Miami after Beverly Hills, because I was falling asleep.
It sucks because like we've been so excited when they announced that Miami and Beverly Hills were premiering a week apart.
I'm not a Beverly Hills fan, but go ahead.
I just meant in general, I thought Bravo fans were just gagging that we were having Beverly Hills, Miami, Potomac. You also had Married to Med. There was a lot in Salt Lake. I think that it was too good to be true, you guys, because not everything has been hitting. It turns out I don't need all my favorite shows at the same time, because it's impossible for them to all fucking deliver. And Beverly Hills is sort of having a very they're treading water this season for sure.
Okay. I thought that it was interesting how Erica was talking about the earrings. And I think that she's really missed the point so hard on this. And her talking about the legal, you know, decision. Last season, Crystal specifically said that she was like, it's not about the legal decision. It's like about like making people feel whole and the fact that you should not own them. And it's not like morally right for you to like want to keep them. I don't give a fuck. And I don't think anyone else gives a fuck that like the courts decided that they couldn't prove how you got the money so that you get to keep them. It's not a fucking win. It's like, it just makes you look like a fucking asshole that you're still talking about this. And like, she just totally missed the fucking point completely.
But Erica was the only person that was floating this episode. I'm sorry. She was cracking me up. Her being so hammered
Merce
at that dinner.
Merce in the purse.
She was, first of all, drunk getting glam. I've never seen eyes so heavy before. Like, she could have passed out right in that glam chair. Gripping on her vodka soda lemons. And then her actually being like a Rain Man at the table and knowing everything that people are talking about. I was I was thoroughly entertained by Erica, and I'm like, thank God she's on this show because, like, everyone else is doing nothing.
She's like, oh, yeah, so are you Christian? She's like, oh, so are you Christian or you're Muslim? Because over there they have, and then she's like, yeah, have you heard of Shiite Muslim? She's like, Sunni Shiite, yeah, and others. Like, she's like, I have an international studies degree. I'm aware.
See, it was so good. And then I kind of got annoyed because people were like, oh, like in their confessionals, like, she is so drunk, or like they were just kind of commenting on how drunk she was. And I'm like, that's the point, Yolanda. Dinners used to be where shit popped off. Dinners were when people were wasted. You want to talk about the rumors and the nastiness about her husband? Like, we're not sober at dinners. We were talking about the husband, Lisa Rinna, Lisa Rinna commute.
No, I agree. I actually, when like the commercial break went off and was like coming up and it showed the scene of her, I was like, ooh, Erica's getting drunk. Yay. I love it when Erica's drunk. It was amazing. And I loved, but they all acknowledged that she was being like Rain Man in that moment. And she was, it was crazy. But even, you know, when she first walked up, the moment where she like was walking up to meet everyone and she like composed herself and was like, let me just stand still. It reminded me of when I was in high school and I got dropped off from a bonfire to go walk to my house and to have to talk to my parents for like 5 minutes before I went to bed. Like, it was like that. It was like, just stand up still.
Straight face.
And just have a straight face and just answer their questions and just be normal for like 5 minutes before you have to go to bed and stumble into bed. Like, it was very much that. It was amazing. I also want to say, like, you know what? Good on her, because she was very drunk, admittedly. And they were on cobblestone in high heels. And you know what? She did not fall over from what I could tell.
No, she carried that dinner on her back. I'm like, if we're finding out where all of these guests of honors like grew up, like, we don't have to know you grew up in Sacramento. Why is that important? It's like, they were filling the episode with anything they could fill the episode with. So if she wouldn't have been amazing at that dinner, I would have fell asleep.
I will say, I also thought it was nice, a little bit of resolution between Garcelle and Dorit. I felt like there was a lot of empathy in that conversation. I felt like they understood each other more. And I wonder if they're cool in present day. So yeah, hopefully there's some resolution there between them and that their friendship can continue.
Yeah, I thought it was great too. I mean, I will say, the topic of the conversation is like aside. I think that, Reed, you've brought this up before, where Garcelle will forgive someone, say they're moving on, and then not do that, right? So this was at the beginning of the conversation. I was a little annoyed initially, not annoyed, but like, it was like, okay, we had a whole lunch sit down where you had said that you accepted the apology and you guys were moving on. You told other people we're moving on. And then she brings it up again. But I think this time it really did feel like it really was finally accepted. So I do hope that that's like where we're headed.
We also had in the church, Kyle and Sutton kind of having a moment.
Yeah.
And Sutton saying like, I'm sorry, I haven't been that good of a friend to you. And Kyle saying, no, you have been a good friend. So this episode kind of did wrap up some of those like fighting relationships that were going on. So I do think that's good going forward. But at the same time, if nobody's fighting, what are we like, got to watch?
Everyone's making up and we need a Rinna. We need a Brandy. We need a villain. We need a new villain. And we don't have one. There's not a villain. Anne-Marie is trying and she's just not, I don't take her seriously. I'm not scared of you, Anne-Marie. I need to be afraid. I need to be shaking in my boots. Okay. And I haven't been feeling that way about a lot of people that they've been trying to bring into this cast.
I mean, I think that she will go back to being the villain just for whatever reason. All the women have decided that she was being like nice to Crystal this one
episode. The women love her. It's so weird.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that, but I
no, they like love her.
I do feel like it's funny the juxtaposition with the trip with the Miami ladies and the trip here. The Miami ladies are starting fights and the women in Beverly Hills are resolving fights on this trip, which is like, I don't know. It's kind of nice. You know, they're going to fight when they get back home. Like, it's fine.
Will they though? Oh, it's so boring. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if this is your favorite show on Bravo too, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not as entertained.
It could be worse. It could be
Potomac.
It's not bad. I've had fun this season, even. Like, I'm not. It's weird. It's hard to like describe how I feel about this season. It's not that I hate it.
No, it's.
But
just,
I also wouldn't say I'm loving it.
It's just not like if someone's like, "What happened this season so far on Beverly Hills?"
It's like, okay, yeah, I can pretty much sum it up.
Like, what has happened? You know, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. So, any final thoughts on Beverly Hills, guys?
I just wanted to say that Sutton's hair extensions have been working overtime this season, and they deserve an Emmy.
She looks great.
Her hair looks amazing. Great.
Yeah. Great.
Would you believe
beautiful gowns.
It? Would you believe it if I told you I don't know how to tell if someone's wearing hair extensions?
You know what? I don't find that shocking. I'll show you one day. When
okay,
next time we go
enough.
Out, if we go out to straight bars, I'll show you all the girls that all have right. extensions in.
Yeah. Well,
you know what? I'll make you a side-by-side.
Perfect. Well, guys, that is our episode this week. Thanks for listening and supporting us as always. You can find us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, About_Bravo. Don't forget to leave a review and 5 stars, please, if you love us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It goes a long way. And you can support us even more by subscribing to our Patreon channel. We bring at least one new episode a week now, if not more. We're covering Drag Race, Traitors on a very regular basis. We're doing a lot of rewinds on shows we like. We're also starting to do some episodes that you guys have been messaging us about on Instagram that you'd like to see us cover. So it's a great time to go support us there. $3 a month gets you all access to our episodes. So yeah, thanks for giving us your support and for listening. We'll be back next week. Maddie, Annie, thanks for joining tonight, and we'll see you guys later.
Bye.